Okay, hi everybody, and yes, here we are continuing with letter number nine. We actually have finished, as you know, letter number 10 and 11, but this one seems so important to me anyway that I've decided to give it special attention. And so it begins with program 64. And now we're on 65, and we have something here called the Future Schools of Meditation. We've had an introduction to that already. That was in number 64, and where we can look for some of these activities where the masters are rather looking in on and supervising those who have promise to work with these schools and who possibly can be raised to that kind of level that the schools require. People in many civilized countries are under supervision, vision from above. And a method of stimulation and intensification is being applied, which will bring to the knowledge of the great ones themselves a mass of information that may serve as a guide to their future efforts for the race. Now, among the future efforts for the race will be these new esoteric schools. It'll be part of the restoration of the mysteries. There will be a Masonic restoration. There will be a restoration of the church. All of these are considered to be organisms rather than organizations. The Masonic organism, the church organism, and the banded esoteric organisms. And under that, I think, come the new esoteric schools, which are will be banded together, connected with each other. So the supervision that's going on is occurring in countries, for the most part, that will have new esoteric schools initially. Eventually, every sufficiently developed nation will have its own esoteric schools. And listed here, America, there are two. Australia, there's one. India is part of a different branch, the Southern Indian branch, but it has its own method of education as part of the fourfold expression of the one fundamental school of occultism in Shambhala. Russia, yes, and either Scotland or Wales, but yes, and Greece, either Greece or Syria, but yes. And these are people under supervision that can perhaps be utilized in the development of the new esoteric schools. Not Belgium, but yes, Sweden, as the counterpart to the Russian school, I suppose a lot of seventh ray there. And not Austria, but certainly Austria with its fourth ray soul, and Germany with its fourth ray soul will be important in bringing together human beings and devas. Because on the Buddhic plane or the fourth, they do really begin to harmonize, even though they may be rather at war with each other on the astral plane. So, and that's back in 1920. So here is number 65, program number 65. Future Schools of Meditation. In handling this matter, we might, as is our usual custom, divide the subject matter under different heads. Well, it's so clear that the outlining method is what DK has so persistently used. And then we have the one fundamental school of occultism in Shambhala. Its national subdivisions, the location, personnel, and buildings of the school, so it's getting quite concrete. We have some friends in New Zealand with architectural talent, and they have built up some projections of what the buildings of such schools could look like, and the grades and classes. Now, you probably know that with respect to the Maurya Federation, since he is the head of all esoteric organizations and schools, that we have used Master DK's preparatory curriculum to the extent we could in planning a harbinger, you might say, or a anticipation of what the real esoteric schools will be like when once again the great Lord is walking the earth. So I had other ideas earlier, but I don't think that the great Lord can walk the earth until the beginning of the Aquarian Age, which is 2117, according to the Tibetan's letter to Roberto Saggioli. So that's still a ways away, and there's much of the fading out of the Piscean and six-ray energy that has to occur. You know, when you look at the tendencies to go out of control with mob violence and fanaticism and very ugly things, we can only hope that this ray and this sign fade from human influence in this cycle relatively rapidly and without too much damage, because it really does want to hold on to the past, and it really doesn't want the future to enter. When I say it, I mean those who are subject to the waning Piscean and waning sixth ray influence. They sense their kind of mortality, and they therefore attempt to block the entry of a new and more balanced manifestational energy in which the highest and the lowest can meet, according to the word of power of the seventh ray. So these are the divisions that DK will undertake to somewhat explain. He always uses the word somewhat, or maybe some, because he's only going so far, giving us enough hints to have some idea of what lies ahead, at least in the plans of the masters. And since they are adepts, they're always adapting, you know. And probably there have been a lot of adaptations that have been necessary. One big adaptation here was the phasing out of the empowerment of the fifth ray ashram from, was it 1950 approximately, to the year 2000. It was just going too fast and too successfully. And the other qualities, ashramic qualities, so necessary to human spiritual growth, we're not keeping up. So they really have to keep a balance. And I think during the New Age, there will be real attention to balance, given the idea that the seventh ray is formed of maybe somewhat equal measures of the first, second, and third rays, a balance. Now, he says, I would emphatically point out to you the fact that all that I now impart is a portion of a tentative plan. Notice the word tentative, you know, because the masters are always conducting experiments, and they don't hold too tightly to one of their projected plans. It may not work out, and something else may have to be substituted. So all that I now impart is a portion of a tentative plan, which has in view the hastening of the evolution of the higher mind. Note, you know, built eventually around the monastic permanent atom and not around the mental unit as the concrete mind is. The view of hastening the evolution of the higher mind and the bringing under control of the bodies of men, presumably mind, emotions, and etheric physical, through the power of the God within. So we might say that this is the, let's say, a goal, a major goal of the new esoteric schools. So I'll make that just one shorter. And so this, whoop, that's not what I want, is it? Okay, trying again. Trying again, and maybe succeeding this time. Okay, so now let's see if it works. So this will be a major goal of the new esoteric schools, the future schools of meditation. So hastening, this is an important one, hastening the evolution of the higher mind, the lodge of darkness, has in its initiate members those whose development of the concrete mind is very powerful. As DK tells us, at some point it takes us to places that we can barely conceive. So, well, we can't conceive them. So advanced, are they. But that's not what is going to make the truly spiritual helper of humanity. So I put in green because the higher mind is involved. And the plan is tentative. Because we don't know, if we're members of the hierarchy, how humanity will react, how it will respond to the opportunity offered. This plan has been drawn up in view of the crying need of a world in which the mental equipment of men is increasingly out of all proportion to their emotional balance and their physical equipment. So, you know, again, imbalance is dangerous. And we know that an imbalanced machine can easily destroy itself, can easily fall apart. Maybe sometimes you've watched a washing machine that is somehow tilted, you know, and it cannot, on the fast cycle, it makes all of these noises because of the lack of balance. And eventually, if you keep running it that way, there will be a breakdown. And so even then, 1920, after the First World War, a crying need of a world in which mental development has gone too far. And the love energy, which belongs in the emotional nature, and the physical vitality that belongs in the physical nature, are too little developed. The mind is racing far ahead, and this is one of the, well, it's a characteristic of the members of the Black Lodge, that their mental equipment is so great that they have succeeded in doing a very dangerous thing and making the concrete mind a 13th sphere, a sphere unto itself. And hence DK tells us about the ill-omened number 13. Now, in a certain way, when you look at the cosmic physical plane and you think of dividing off the concrete layers of it into a sphere all of its own, we have a kind of eighth sphere when all the rest are meant to blend into seven spheres. But the real eighth sphere, I think, according to Blavatsky, is a kind of area of vibration which is even lower than dense physical matter, if we can conceive of such a thing. The rapid advance of knowledge, the spreading of the educational system, just imagine today with the internet, which brings the product of many minds into the environment of the very poor, and hence arouses their indignation and aspiration. The ability of all to read and write in such a country as America, or among the other Anglo-Saxon races, has been the cause of a very real, I might almost say an unexpected problem arising to confront the great ones. Well, we would think that this kind of spread of education would be very valuable, and in a way it is, but the problem is, it's again, out of balance. And now, you know, this is 100 years ago he's writing, and the spread of knowledge now is tremendous through the internet. And what was said that before long there'll be some kind of computer station every 6 miles or so that people can take advantage of. And many more literacy is waxing. Not only the Anglo-Saxon races have it, but other countries too have developed a high literacy rate. So how to handle, and this is pretty much the concrete mind, how to handle what it reveals when the moral factor in our emotions is not up to par. And also when our own physical nature leaves much to be desired. Mental development, when paralleled by emotional stability and a strong, healthy body, you know, it's kind of a Uranus, Neptune, Vulcan trio, is the aim for all. So this is the ideal, and it is an ideal that is not yet reached, maybe a somewhat more so now, 100 years later. There has been so much emphasis upon how to handle emotions, especially in the countries where psychology is considered important. And there's so much attention now to the health of the body that there have been improvements. But now, that is then, okay, you have mental development paralleled by an unstable astral and a weak, underfed, badly raised physical. So here is our very strong, relatively, mental development. Here is an unstable astral, and we have only to study the lives and the methods of rulership of some of our leaders, and a weak, underfed, and badly raised physical. I'll put it, you know, in green to discriminate. So this is what we have. And the extent to which this has improved since 1920s, well, somewhat. Okay. Hence, disorder, lack of balance, the clouding of the vision, and, you know, too much talk, disproportionate discussion. Lower mind, instead of being a means to an end and a weapon for use, is in fair way of being a ruler and a tyrant, preventing the play of the intuition and shutting out the abstract mind. So this is what the masters faced when they were thinking of how to remedy the situation. And maybe when we look at this paragraph, the disorder is related to the physical plane. We have that veil of impulsion, so we have all kinds of chaos etherically working out physically. Balance is often an emotional factor. We lose our emotional balance and go too far with our reactivity, and that results in the glamorous clouding of the vision. And then what do? We over-discuss it without taking the necessary action that is required. And we do come to the idea, you know, that the mind makes a good servant, but a poor master, a dangerous master. And so we have people that are just fixated in the lower mind. They're very intelligent in a certain respect, but it's a bit like, you know, the kind of IQ tests that one takes in high school, you know, even in grade school. The measurements are distorted. They're only measuring certain quantitative abilities and maybe some verbal abilities, yes, but not the intelligence of the heart. They're not measuring social intelligence and that which conduces to a harmony and eventually to a kind of unity. All of those kinds of measurements are not considered in the range of intelligence. So we have kind of a distorted, limited point of view. And still, students going through high school and preparing for college, whatever form that now begins to take, they are compressed and measured by limited measures. And their true value is not appreciated. And so their self-image is cramped, and they conceive of themselves in a certain way which is giving them the idea, really, that they are less than they are. Well, that's because our values have to do with the measurements of the concrete mind. Hence, the masters, if it can in any way be accomplished, there's still an if here, purpose a movement that has in view the harnessing of the lower mind through the instrumentality of the people themselves. So the people, that is the inner person, the actual person, comes out as of more importance than the lower mind. Now, I think I'm a product of this kind of unbalanced education until meeting with the work of the Tibetan and Theosophy. Everything, the level of your value depended upon the results in those very limiting tests for your so-called cognitive ability and for your, verbal and quantitative abilities. There's a lot more to the human being. So with this object in view, the plan to utilize the incoming ray of ceremonial law organization and the period immediately coincident or following the coming of the great Lord, at this time, maybe it was thought that he could still come in the 20th century, to start these schools in a small, inconspicuous way at first, and bring to the consciousness of men everywhere the following four fundamentals. So he's given us the problem and why the schools should be considered maybe remedies for some of these problems if they can be successful. Now, you will notice that the real schools have two time periods in terms of when some of them at least might appear. The period immediately coincident with, I assume, when the great Lord comes, and the period following the coming of the great Lord, but they do seem to be tied to the reappearance of the Christ. Now remember, when this was written, it was anticipated that even before the end of the 20th century, the great Lord might appear. And maybe the precipitation of the second phase of the Great World War from 1914 to 1945 was not anticipated. Further, the fifth ray ashram got way ahead of itself, in a certain sense, and the masters were obliged to give confirmation if they were correct. And atomic weaponry was developed, and this set an entirely new situation of grave danger in process. So I suppose that the coming of the great Lord then was delayed until certain achievements could at least be in process. Some measure of peace, some measure of sharing, and of course the house cleaning that we have been witnessing, especially in the church and now I think increasingly in politics. So what are the four fundamentals? In other words, bringing to the consciousness of human beings everywhere these four must be brought into consciousness of human beings everywhere. And let's just see how that's going. Point A, the evolutionary history of man from the mental side. You know, sometimes the teaching of the history of ideas, the philosophy of ideas, the history of ideas, covers this particular type of education. The septenary constitution of the macrocosm and the microcosm. So we understand the general principle of the sevenfoldness and the octave. The laws governing man's being, well, they are many. And some of them are natural laws, but increasingly the laws of the soul, of which there are seven, five useful for us at the moment, increasingly revealing the laws of the soul. And the method of occult development. Okay. So the evolutionary history of man from the mental side, because we are in this fifth root race, this Aryan race, really emerging out of the Atlantean tendency towards emotional focus, emotional polarization. And how far have we come? Okay, that's the question. The sevenfold constitution of the macrocosm and microcosm, there are so many septenates without knowledge of which we cannot understand how our solar system, our planet, our even our own mechanisms, individual, are constructed. And then, of course, this is huge. The laws governing a man's being, they are so many. One of our colleagues is working on this at the present time and has come up with over 400 laws. But of course, not all of them are of equal importance. especially the laws of the soul are important, and the laws of the solar system, and then the three great cosmic laws of synthesis, attraction, repulsion, and economy. And then the method of occult development. Well, that's exactly what the Tibetan is trying to teach us in all of his books. So this may be desirable for men to learn, but we're not there yet. Again, you know, when you think about where the mind is of so many millions, DK tells us it will be a long time before we before the time arrives when occult training is possible for the many. So anyway, bring to the consciousness of men everywhere. That's the key. And we can be part of that, as we know. Now here, you know, there are some ellipses. A beginning has already been made, and I seem to have run into some text, and I think more will be made available now, that signals out maybe Australia, singles out Australia and United States through the various schools at present extant. We have some preparatory schools which are preparatory to the kind of preparatory schools that DK is here going to discuss. And all of these are the beginnings of the plan. Now, maybe, you know, you can consider the Arcane School such a preparatory school. And I know efforts are being made, and we have through the University of the Seven Rays and the Moria Federation tried to give preparation for preparation. But I have learned that there's no way to rush this process, but there is a way at least to be attentive and dedicated to building the foundation of the process. The coming of the Great Lord, this seems to be the marker that will allow the real esoteric schools of the future, the real schools of meditation, to be anchored. So these preparations of preparations, when they are firmly grounded, when they are working smoothly, and with public recognition, and when the world of men is being somewhat colored by them and their subjective emphasis. Okay, now maybe he is actually, well, let's just see what he's talking about. But when they are producing scholars and workers, politicians, scientists, and educational leaders who make their impress on the environment, then mayhap, perhaps, will come the time for the founding in exoteric fashion of the true occult school. Does he mean is this a preparatory school or an advanced school? Let's see. By that I mean that if the earlier schools and colleges do their work satisfactorily, they will have demonstrated to the world of men that the subjective is the true reality, and that is very far from the case. We are caught in sensory objectivity at the moment, but that the subjective is the true reality, and that the lower is but a stepping stone to the higher. This subjective reality is being universally admitted, will therefore permit of the founding of a chain of inner schools that will be publicly recognized. Now, again, let's say that this probably includes the advanced schools. This will never at any time obviate the necessity for always having an esoteric and secret section. For always there will be certain truths and facts of dangerous import to the uninitiated. But what I seek to point out is that the mysteries will eventually be admitted as facts for universal recognition and universal aim and goal. And let's say that human beings will, human beings will see the light in other human beings and know that the subjective is real. They will be prepared for and enter from schools that definitely undertake expert guidance to train novitiates for the mysteries. They will be prepared for and entered from schools that definitely undertake to train novitiates for the mysteries. And so eventually the advanced schools will appear. Well, this is quite a paragraph here. A beginning has been made. Now, obviously, not the real esoteric schools, just foundational experiments in certain places. And I think somewhere the intersection of the Theosophical Society was considered such a school, the inner section of the TS was considered such an initial effort. When they are firmly grounded, and remember, we're at a time when the arcane school was just coming into existence, because that's what Alice Bailey did when she received this information from the Tibetan and realized she was working with Master KH. She founded the Arcane School. I'm not sure exactly in what year, but, you know, very early 20s of the last century. And when they are working smoothly and with public recognition, and when the world of men is being somewhat colored by them, again, not all the way, and their subjective emphasis, and when they are, well, and now we seem to switch. Are these preparatory schools to the true preparatory schools producing scholars, workers, politicians, scientists, educational leaders, and so forth? Then mayhap may come the time for the founding in exoteric fashion of the true occult school. So the question is, and maybe we can determine it is a true occult school, a preparatory school, or an advanced school. So there will be earlier schools and colleges, which in this context do not seem to be the seven preparatory schools, but those that value the direction of helping to create the preparatory schools. So maybe it is expected that there will be schools and colleges which will lead to training of these kinds of types when they are producing, etc., etc. Then may come the time for the founding of the true occult school. So the it appears that the earlier schools or colleges are intended to lead to the founding of the true external esoteric schools, which will be recognized. So there's a little bit of ambiguity here. The earlier schools and colleges are not necessarily, it seems, the same as the seven preparatory schools, because he kind of speaks of them in a general way, you know. They will have demonstrated the subjective reality is the true reality, and that the lower is but the stepping stone to the higher. And then subjectivity will be admitted, I suppose, especially during the Aquarian Age, maybe even relatively early for the true preparatory schools. Eventually, the subjective will be universally admitted, and therefore the founding of a chain of inner schools, which will be publicly recognized. And, you know, the inner schools, well, they certainly are the advanced schools. This includes the advanced schools. Now, maybe it does not include the preparatory schools, which are supposed to be of the standard of any good college or university. I think it's a gradual phasing in of the subjective point of view. Okay. There will be a gradual phasing in of the subjective point of view. This will never at any time obviate the necessity for always having an esoteric and secret section. For always there will be certain truths that and facts which are of dangerous import to the uninitiated. So the inner sections of these schools, and I suppose especially of the advanced schools, will certainly exist. But what I seek to point out, he says, is that the mysteries will eventually be, and there's that word, you know, how far into the future, we don't exactly know. We have to fulfill certain requirements. But what I seek to point out is that the mysteries will eventually be admitted as facts for certain for universal recognition and for universal aim and goal. So, I think he, you know, desires not to be too specific. Right now, even in normal universities, subjects which would have been considered to be subjective and esoteric are being taught. And basically, it's a preparation for the establishment of the true esoteric schools after or at the time of, or at least beginning at the time of, approximately, the reappearance of the Christ. So, they will be prepared for and entered from schools that definitely undertake, under expert guidance, to train novitiates for the mysteries. They, and in this case, probably the advanced schools, will be prepared for and entered from schools that undertake, and what makes me think we're now dealing with the true preparatory schools, he says, under expert guidance. So, under the guidance of a master to train novitiates for the mysteries. So here, you know, we have three phases in the sequence. The appearance of schools, even now appearing, which are training its students in the major ideas of the ageless wisdom, and thereby preparing them for the time when the true preparatory schools, undertaken under esoteric guidance, will begin a higher level of training, which will prepare for the true inner advanced esoteric schools. Because that's what we can expect of a preparatory school, that it will train novitiates for the mysteries, which will be more fully imparted in the advanced school. Let's just say the true preparatory school will train novitiates for the mysteries, and the advanced schools will present some of the mysteries, as will, you know, the externalization of the mystery ceremonies, at least for the first and second degree. So we're in the process right now of working towards the true preparatory schools. There are many schools that are doing that. The Arcane School, the School for Esoteric Studies, the Arcane School in its three branches, I would say. I think the Moria Federation is doing that. And there's work at, has been work over the years in Meditation Mount to help people gain some idea of the fundamentals of the ageless wisdom and the, you know, intersection of the Theosophical Society and so forth. Still a preparatory school which prepares for the real preparatory schools. I know that's been a little bit convoluted. It's just that, you know, there seems to be some ambiguity here. And all I want to say is that the preparatory schools do not appear immediately. The subjects have to be taken up in other types of lesser schools and colleges whose purpose is not necessarily entirely spiritual, but they offer these extensions, these classes that point towards the future spirituality. Okay. Such schools have existed before, and in the turning of the wheel, again, they will be in manifestation. I don't know if they were divided into preparatory and advanced, but definitely they have existed. You know, and when you think about it, even the modern Masonic work is preparation for a truer type of Masonic work that will probably appear when the Great Lord again walks the earth. You ask when? That depends on humanity itself and of all of you who work with faith and aspiration at the beginnings of the plan. Somehow, you know, offering the ageless wisdom to those to whom it might not otherwise be offered. And this we are attempting to do, that so many of us are attempting to do. Isn't it amazing how this time equation is so often in the hands of humanity and their responsiveness, their receptivity to the ideas put forth by the hierarchy. Now, in a later book, he seems to be talking about centuries ahead. In this book, he seems perhaps a little more optimistic, but then again, the Christ in this book was anticipated to appear earlier than once the atomic weaponry was unveiled and the Second World War precipitated. HPB laid the foundation stone of the first school in this particular lesser cycle, which is nevertheless a relatively important one, being an outgrowth of the fifth root race, the efflorescence of the fifth principle, and this is the keystone. The keystone is important in Masonry, and I think we have a state in the Union that's called the Keystone State. So was it the entire Theosophical Society that was this a cornerstone or foundation stone or keystone? Or was it the esoteric section? Was this the entire TS at its founding? Or was it the esoteric inner section of the TS? And I think there was an intention somewhere in there to call it by the name Arcane. So we're, you know, and maybe we're talking about the fifth sub-race of the fifth root race, but we're also talking about the sixth sub-race of the fifth root race, which we now are entering. We are speaking of a time which is not only that of the fifth sub-race, I have to do it differently. Sub-race of the fifth root race, but also of the impending sixth sub race of the fifth root race. That's the kind of description, or it's an outgrowth which is involved in developing in America and New Zealand and Australia, I think, these so-called advanced colonies of the sixth sub-race of the fifth root race, which is not yet the entire sixth root race. The work proceeds in the founding, as aforesaid, of the various schools, and mental science also has its place. So we want to say that this shows us that the schools and colleges, which are foundational, are not yet the new esoteric schools in their preparatory. Oh. It will go forward as desired if each one who is now under occult training, whoa, strains every nerve and bends every effort to the work at hand. So we can never look at the Tibetan as anything but the enemy of tamas, enemy of inertia. He just demands everything of us. And, you know, I suppose the question always is, when something's written 100 years ago, what has actually occurred? If all that is possible is done, when the great Lord comes with his masters, the work will receive a still further impetus and will gradually expand and grow till it becomes a power in the world. So we don't expect immediate recognition for these schools. They begin in a small way. We students, we have some work to do as part of the foundational impulse, and then the coming of the great Lord will provide a tremendous stimulation, the great Lord and his masters. Then will come the day of the occult schools that will definitely train men for initiation. And I would say train them for both the initiations of the threshold and for the third initiation. And maybe in some cases of the advanced schools for the fourth. Then will come the day of the occult schools that will definitely train men for initiation. So it's a great prospect. It's a great anticipation, and we have to be patient. We have to be patient. And yet, bend every nerve and every fiber and so forth. Patient while working under great, at a great point of tension. Okay, friends, I think that may be enough for right now. We are going to be getting a new subject. We finished program 65 and program 66. We'll see when we can undertake it. Today is the 10th of February. And the one fundamental school, this is what we will undertake the next time. The one fundamental school of occultism in Shambhala, of which there are four great divisions, one of the four not yet formed, and we will proceed. As I say, if you want maybe a more detailed accounting of what DK has said, at least my impressions of it, you can go to the written commentary that is found on Makara. So, study hard and meditate deeply, and lots of love and appreciation for you as you do this work. And I'll take up the rest as soon as I possibly can. Okay. Bye for now.